collaborative.
Experimentation.
The next idea.
We need a participation revolution, and we need it fast.
The next idea is our vehicle for exploring a variety of ways to move Michigan forward. And certainly, that includes ideas for promoting and improving Michigan products. Our latest contributors to the next idea serve up some ideas for improving the reputation of Michigan's wine industry. Bill and Susan Bramer are owners of Laurentide Winery. It's midway between Leland and Sutton's Bay, right there on the Leelanau Peninsula. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Cindy.
You both met while you were students at the University of Michigan. You were saying to me you are maize and blue in your heart, but you spent a lot of your careers prior to winemaking in California. Bill, what was your impression of Michigan wines while you were out amidst the vineyards of Napa Valley and Sonoma?
Well, it wasn't very good, honestly. Some of the wines that I had tried when I was younger, things of the ilk of soda pop wine, and generally Concord-based, and it really wasn't even clear to someone from the state, like myself, that high-quality fine wine could be produced from Michigan.
So what turned that around? Susan, what drew you to Leelanau and made you say, yep, we're going to plant a vineyard and we are going to start a winery in Michigan?
So what really turned it around was we tried the wines, and that made all the difference because there's a reputation you hear about, but then you have to check your facts. And by the time we had tried the wines, which was, I guess, about 15 years ago now, turned out to be very, very surprising. We both kind of looked at each other and said, wow, these are wonderful wines, very pure, high quality, sort of European in character.
And it made you say, all right, we're going to do it in Michigan. And here you are now really wanting to champion the reputation and the image of Michigan wines. And, you know, Bill, I don't need to tell you, the wine business is mighty competitive and reputations die hard. How do you describe the prevailing reputation in the wine world when someone says Michigan wine?
Well, that's a good question. And what I've seen, and it comes across in a couple ways, is when we give someone one of our wines, specifically our Sauvignon Blanc, which is very unique on the Michigan peninsulas, they will say, wow, this is the best Michigan wine I've ever had. And you see there's this bias already in their mindset because they say, this is a Michigan wine. So it has to be separated from, for example, French wine, Italian wine, California wine. And I think that bias is hard to overcome. And it happens not only with knowledgeable people, but also novices. I've actually had people look at our packaging and say, well, this wine doesn't look like a Michigan wine, nor does it taste like a Michigan wine.
Damned with faint praise, I think. Right? Kind of. I mean, it's almost a little bit of a compliment, but there's kind of a put down of Michigan.
Right, a little backhanded. Yeah. And it is, I don't think it's exclusive to Michigan wines. I think it's a general thing that happens with people's biases. People are biased in a number of areas, and it all has to do with preconceived notions about what you're expecting.
So people who think, hey, Michigan builds cars, doesn't make great wines.
Or they've heard that the best wine in the world comes from California, or they've heard that the best wine in the world can only be made in France. And then they go with that preconceived notion, and when they find their senses telling them something different, they actually have to do a double take. Hmm. It was kind of like when you're asking Susan, what made the difference? We tasted the wines. But even after having that experience, we had to go back and think about the final commitment because we had our own biases.
We're talking with Bill and Susan Bramer, who are the owners of Laurentide Winery. It's on the Leelanau Peninsula. And in your essay for the next idea, you admit it is hard to change a wine region's reputation. And you offer a few ideas for starting to change things in Michigan. And first, the fact we're celebrating Michigan Wine Month this month. And you think we could do better than the month of April?
April is a tough month. We're happy we have a Michigan Wine Month. Please do not mistake me. But as we all look out on the gray, drizzly, muddy landscape, it would be nice if we had a greener month to celebrate a wonderful, bountiful harvest. However, it's really more of the how we treat the month, how we actually embrace Michigan Wine Month. We do have events that are taking place throughout the state. However, even more needs to be done to popularize the month. I think if you talk to anyone on the street and you said, did you know that April is Michigan Wine Month? I would say 99% of the people would say, no, I really didn't, or nor do they know that there actually is a Michigan Wine Month. So at this point, it's how do we embrace that and make it actually more popular, regardless of what type of time of year it is. I think Bill also had a comment on that too.
Well, we just opened a letter, and we've been invited to the 5th annual All Michigan Wine Tasting at a restaurant in Grand Rapids. So this is an example of, and it is dated, you know, in recognition of Michigan Wines Month. The event is actually going to be held in May so that they can use their outside terrace. But this is an example of the type of things that we can do as Michiganders, as restaurateurs, to embrace Michigan wines.
And you talk in your essay about the point of the fact that the local food movement, which so many restaurants have tapped into, really does need to extend to local wines. Do you have other ideas for getting Michigan restaurants to just, come on, serve more Michigan wines?
Well, one of the ways is that they have to become more familiar with the wines. So it is a give and take. Mm-hmm. We need to have them come up north or west, see the wineries that are in existence now, and have much more of an interplay between the people that make the wine and the people that buy and serve the wine. So one of the things that we'd really like to see happen is more communication between maybe just the restaurant associations, how we can make more of links between the vintners, the trails, the actual wineries, the winemakers, and the restaurateurs.
You also argue in your essay, in order to change the reputation of Michigan wines, we all kind of need to pitch in and help out. And you're hoping to see folks who perhaps don't have the highest or greatest opinion of Michigan wines to try them again. So make the case, Bill. How do you get someone to open up their mind to Michigan wines?
My personal belief is that they have to do it blinded. By that, I mean we can't put a Napa Valley Chardonnay in one side of the table and a Michigan Chardonnay on the other and say, try these two wines and tell me why you like or dislike which one. They have to not know what they're drinking. It's fine to let them know that this is a test and that we're going to be having more expensive wines against lesser expensive wines, but not let them let their biases interfere with their senses.
That could be a fun brown bag party.
It's a lot of fun. Susan and I, when we were in California, we were in the Livermore Valley, and we used to lead the wine club in our organization there, and we would have many blind tastings, and it was always interesting to see what people's opinions were. Oftentimes, we would be doing California against France, and now here we have a very similar bias that would be encountered here, like, for example, Michigan against California. Now the shoe's on the other foot. I still remember a Frenchman's face when we compared a lovely first growth Margaux with a Zinfandel from 1976. And of course, it was brown bag, and he had no idea, and he actually preferred the 1976 Zinfandel. A similar scenario could be envisioned where you see someone preferring a crisp Michigan Riesling to a Central Valley Riesling or a North Coast Riesling. And I'm not trying to be negative here. Mm-hmm. California makes wonderful wine. What we're trying to get people to recognize is that Michigan also makes wonderful wine.
If you're looking out into the future, let's say 10 years, Bill, when you imagine Michigan's wine industry in 10 years, what do you see?
Well, I still see continued growth. We were looking at some numbers recently with respect to what's occurred over the last 10 years. So the first time that we explored Leelanau Peninsula and really tasted those wines and took stock of what was there, I think we were looking at roughly 12 to 15 total wineries on Old Mission Peninsula and Leelanau. And now that number is close to 50. So 10 years from now, I wouldn't be surprised to see that number again significantly increase. And I see continued award. I mean, we've been winning significant awards, and I don't just speak for Leelanau here. I speak for the entire Michigan wine economy. Many great awards have been won over the last decade, and I would say that number will not only increase, but I think it'll be accelerated over the next 10 years, given the quality of the product and the experience of making fine wines that's being gained by the vintners. It really is something that takes practice, and you need multiple vintages to hone in on the best possible solutions. And every year is different, so that experience factor is building up, and we have winemakers with 20 great years of experience now. And, of course, new ones coming from all over the world every season. So with that collection and diversity, we can only improve.
And with that, we're going to refer everybody to their essay at the Next Idea page. You can just go to michiganradio.org and click on the Next Idea and read their essay. Bill and Susan Bramer, who are owners of the Laurentide Winery on the Leelanau Peninsula, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much, Cynthia.